This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The World Trade Organization is sailing into uncharted waters as it prepares to lose some of its power. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. One of the WTO's key functions is its appeals court, where trade disputes between member countries are heard. To make rulings, the appellate body, as it's formally called, needs at least three judges. But by midnight, two of those judges' terms end, and no replacements have been selected. Washington has, for the last 2 years, blocked the WTO from appointing new members. So how significant is the change for the nearly 24-year-old organization? Dmitry Gro-Zubinsky is a former Australian trade negotiator to the WTO. He's also founder of ExplainTrade.com.
It doesn't mean we're all about to descend into chaos, but it does mean that just about the only legal way of resolving disputes between two WTO members is no longer functional.
So with this decision to let these terms expire, and with more attention on global trade and rising protectionism, could we see more tit-for-tat tariffs then without anyone to referee disputes?
Absolutely. We've already seen some WTO members take the law into their own hands. Ordinarily, you would have to wait for an appellate body decision to basically tell you you can retaliate. But some countries have already waded into the trade war by retaliating without asking permission. Now, because permission is effectively impossible, I think it's entirely likely that we'll see more tit-for-tat escalation as countries feel like there's no other option to address trade problems. There's either negotiation or there's preemptive retaliation.
Does this spell the beginning of the end for the WTO?
I think it could spell the beginning of a serious change to the way it operates. You could even potentially see a fragmentation of it. I don't think the organization is going to be closing its doors. It does a lot of good work, but it certainly marks a period of transition. I think a lot will depend on if there is a new U.S. administration and what that new administration does. Because right now, I can tell you a lot of people around the world and in Geneva are giving themselves the excuse of saying, well, maybe this is just a President Trump and Bob Lighthizer thing. Maybe we can wait it out. But if President Trump is reelected or if a Democrat replacing him doesn't radically change U.S. policy, everyone's going to have to deal with the fact that this is the way the world is looking for the foreseeable future.
Dmitry Gro-Zubinsky, founder of ExplainTrade.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower as investors eye a Sunday deadline for the U.S. to impose a new round of tariffs on Chinese goods. Beijing said today it hopes to reach a deal, quote, as soon as possible. That's as fresh data this morning showed Chinese exports in November shrank for the fourth straight month. Meanwhile, Japan's economy grew 1.8% in the third quarter from a year ago. I don't know about you, but for me, Monday means meeting day. Whether you love them or loathe them, meetings have become part of our daily working life. The BBC's Manuela Zaragoza wanted to know, though, whether they've just become a way to waste the working day.
Do you want to just outline what you did on Newsday?
It's 9:30 in the morning, which means that for our business news department here at the BBC, it's meeting time, deciding which stories to cover. Luckily, I'm standing at the back of the room next to a window so I can look outside, or I might even just sneakily scroll through my phone.
Manuela, do you mind? We're trying to hold a meeting here.
Oops. I'm out of that meeting now. But the point is, meetings are often the bane of an office worker's existence. That's not to say they're all pointless, but many see meetings as a distraction from actually getting a job done. The evidence, though, is we're having more meetings than ever before.
We have these statistics that I like to spout about, you know, the U.S. has 55 million meetings a day. Well, the U.S. is not alone in having lots and lots.
How many did you say? 55 million?
55 million every single day.
Joseph Allen there. He's professor of industrial and organizational psychology at the University of Utah. Why are we having more meetings than ever if so many of us loathe them? Well, that was a question academics from the University of Malmo in Sweden tried to answer. The study was done by Patrick Hall.
I think we have a tendency to over-organize things, and that becomes a kind of self-fulfilling process because you discover problems in meetings, and then you need more meetings to discuss these problems.
Your study also found that it was almost like a form of therapy rather than about decision-making.
Yeah, I mean, in Sweden, at least, we have an increase of managers in both the private and public sector. And many of these managers don't really know what they should do, so they have these meetings to become informed.
Contrast that with the US, where some bosses have famously taken steps to curtail meetings. Amazon's boss and founder Jeff Bezos, for example. He reportedly uses the two pizza rule. Never have a meeting where two pizzas can't feed the entire group. The fewer people there are, the more productive a meeting is. So what could improve how we conduct meetings? Back to Professor Joseph Allen.
Probably one of the easiest and most surprising things is to manage them effectively from a time perspective. Start them on time and end them on time. You be proactive about managing your time and respecting the time of all those who you're inviting to the meeting. And so I think it would be good if everyone were just to pause right before they say, let's have a meeting, and say, do I need a meeting? What is the purpose for which I'm going to have this meeting? And who needs to be in the meeting?
Food for thought there for anyone who organises meetings. In London, I'm the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza for Marketplace.
Finally, we've told you about the skyrocketing price of onions in India over the last month. Well, one couple got a culinary surprise when a group of friends bought a bouquet of onions as a wedding gift. Onions are a regional staple, but heavy rains have damaged crops this year, causing widespread shortages and denting household budgets. The bride and groom, by the way, were thrilled with the gift. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.